Well, this is a little bit different than teaching a class at SMBI, but here it goes. It is good to see each one of you here, and it's always a blessing to be around young people, especially when I see a desire to serve God, follow Him, learn more. He introduced me a little bit already, but yes, I'm David Yoder. I teach at SMBI just one term out of the year, so it's third term, kind of January into the first part of February. My wife, Cheryl Lee, is back there holding our youngest. Kayla is her name. She is almost pushing 6 months, I guess. And then our oldest son is Braden. He is 7. And then Scott, we call him Scotty. He's the next one in line. He is 5. And then the twins, you may notice that they match a fair amount. Anyway, Cheryl Lee likes to do that. It's fun. And so they are 3. So you'll see them around this weekend, and hopefully that's a blessing. As I thought of choosing what to talk about this weekend, there was a lot of things running through my mind, but I settled on this idea of a race, the Christian life as a race. And the passage that stood out to me was Hebrews 12. Verse 1, I think this is, when I think of the Christian life as a race, this is where I automatically go. But we're very familiar with it. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So we have this idea of a race. And each one of us has our own race. You alone can run your race. No one else can run it for you. Your parents can't run it for you. Your pastors can't run it for you. It's your race. So I don't know where you find yourself in your personal race this weekend. Some of you may be tired. You may be discouraged. You may feel like progress has stalled. And hopefully, if you're in that place, you can be inspired to renew the race, to be rejuvenated. Maybe you're running well, and you're experiencing the joy and peace of the Lord overflowing your life. And praise the Lord for that, and I hope that it can still be an encouraging weekend for you if you're in that place. But let's think about a race a little bit here. What do we know about a race? There's runners, there's winners, there's losers. But specifically, what is a race? You have a definite starting point, correct? You know, and you see little children get excited about running races, and you can always see them. They're crowding up, like they're all trying to. And then someone's like, "Hey, you're too far ahead. You have to start all at the same place if it's going to be a correctly run race." Anyway, so there's a definite starting point. And for us as believers, that definite starting point is when we first come to Christ in repentance and faith. We are made new, a new creation, as it says. And now you're officially in the race at that point. But what else we know about a race is that there are clearly defined boundaries. Generally, the little group of children that's going to run the race, they will pick out, all right, here's where we're headed. We got to run between these two trees. That's the finish line. And so you don't just run out here. There's a clear direction that the race is heading, and there's clearly defined boundaries. You think of a cross-country trail run. I tend to think of the Christian life as more of a cross-country marathon. It's not necessarily a sprint. It's a long journey. You're uphill some, you're downhill some, and you're on this trail. You can't just go off the trail. You're going to be disqualified. And other paths are going to cross that trail, but you're supposed to keep on the right one. But anyway, we have a definite starting point, clear boundaries. So in Scripture, there are rules for how and where to run. There's a lot of passages, and I don't know if I got, I'm not going to read all of those, but especially in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the paths of righteousness or the ways of the upright. And then it also talks about, my passion is the Old Testament. I get really excited looking at the Old Testament and especially how it reveals Jesus. But one of the passages in the Old Testament that talks about this way, or these paths of righteousness, is Isaiah 35, verse 8. And it talks there about how a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Why I like that verse, you don't have to be some super intelligent person to walk on the highway of holiness. We all can do that. It says, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err if they walk in this highway of holiness that God has made possible for us. So we need to not deceive ourselves. Make no mistake, the race that we're running has clearly defined boundaries. What else do we know about a race? Well, so there's a definite starting point, there's clear boundaries, and then there's also a finish line. And this is a sobering reality, because you don't know where your finish line is. So if you live and the Lord returns, that's going to be the finish line, if the Lord returns in our lifetime, which could happen. Or our race will end when we take our last breath, and the Lord knows when that moment is as well. And so that's a sobering reality. There is a finish line. And something to encourage us in, now is the time to make sure that you are running the race well. Now. Because you don't know where your finish line is. It could be this, God forbid, but it could be this weekend. And so, if your race ended today, have you run well and did you finish strong? Did I run well? Did I finish strong? But anyway, for this first session, I better watch my time here. Hold it. Okay, for this first session, we're going to be looking at the question, are you running straight? I don't know if I exactly like that title. What we're going to really be focusing on is, I want you to be thinking about, what path are you on? Are you on the right path? And one thing we know is that people, we have a tendency to choose the wrong path, and yet we feel like we're okay. The scripture, there is a way that seemeth good unto a man, yet the end thereof is death. If you remember that passage. So we have a tendency to choose the wrong path, and then we can end up in surprising places. Have you ever heard someone say, how did this happen? Or how did I end up here? How do people, good intentioned people, end up in that place? So, the first point I want to talk about a little bit here, I want to give you all a principle to write down. If you're taking notes, write this one down. I get this from a book that I read. It's called The Principle of the Path. The author, I don't know that he has fully heeded his own advice in his book, but I still think the principle is true, and it's worth us getting a hold of. But here's the principle. You can call it the principle of the path. And it simply states, direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. And this is a principle that you will not escape. It's very similar to the principle of sowing and reaping. You don't sow grape seeds and get cucumbers, or however grapes work. I don't know. Anyway, you get the idea. You're going to reap what you plant, and the other law of sowing and reaping is you're going to reap more, right? Now, the encouraging thing, so that's, a lot of times we think of that in a negative thing. Oh, if I sow bad things, I'm going to reap even more bad things, which is true. But it also works in the positive sense. If you are sowing good seed, you will reap a bountiful harvest for that. So that's encouraging. But anyway, back to the principle of the path here. This is always at work in the background of the choices you make from day to day. And so Let's talk about these different elements in this statement. Direction, not intention, determines destination. So what are your intentions? What is intention? Well, I have here, intentions are what you say you want. What you say you want to do or to become or where you say you want to end up. These are all intentions. This is what I would like. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to serve God. Those are all intentions. Direction. What is direction? Direction is where you are actually headed. So direction is made up of the daily choices that you are making. The daily choices that you're making here and now. That is a part of a direction that you are heading. So intentions, that's what you say you want to do to become where you want to end up. Direction is where you are actually headed. And then the destination is the end result of the path or the direction that you are headed in. So some examples of this whole thing of intention and direction. So for a while, I've told people, I want to play the guitar. It's actually on Shirley's bucket list for me, if you could do that. So she's been like, you need to learn to play the guitar. And I'm like, yeah, I want to learn to play the guitar. And I say that, you know, and every now and then, you know, I'd pick up the guitar and like, you know, look up some chords and, you know, fiddle around. But then the guitar would sit there and collect dust again. So no matter how much I say I want to learn to play the guitar, I'm not choosing the path that's going to lead to the destination that is picking up and playing the guitar, right? This is common sense. Sorry if this is boring, but we need to get a hold of this idea. So you can't see it from where you're sitting, but I have a callus here and here and here. I haven't learned any of the fancy chords yet, so the pinky's a little soft. But anyway, ask Shirley, I've been doing good for, I don't know, maybe getting close to a month now. So I'm actually on a direction now that I'm starting to see I'm going to arrive at the destination I want to be at, which is playing the guitar. But I want to give you some more serious examples. That's just playing the guitar. You know, if I don't learn to play the guitar, it's probably not that big of a deal. But what about this principle of direction and intention in some other areas of life? So, some examples for you. A young Christian says, I want to develop a deep, close relationship with God. But then he gets up and scrolls his phone first thing in the morning, scrolling social media. A young lady says they want to meet and marry a godly man, but then she dates whoever comes along, as long as they are good looking. I'm not saying we do this, but I'm just giving you examples so you can see what this, how to illustrate this principle. A young man wants to experience the blessings of a godly marriage one day, but he doesn't keep himself pure. A young person says he wants to develop his spiritual giftings to serve God and the church, but then fills his schedule with an endless loop of recreational activities. So we need to take this principle seriously. We can say, it's easy to say what we want to be or do, but are you actually headed that direction? Are you actually going to, are those good intentions going to be realized? A coworker of mine, as we were discussing this idea, he brought up a quote that I want to share with you. I don't know where he got it, but he said, good intentions are like a rocking chair. It makes you feel like you're doing something, but you're not really getting anywhere. And I have been guilty of this. I can be very passionate in conversation about what we should be doing as Christ followers and good conversations. And I can come away from those conversations like, wow, yeah, that felt good. That was, we were talking truth there. But what then? Is my life just a bunch of good conversations about what we should be doing or what we need to be doing? Or am I going to add direction to those intentions? So pay attention. There is a danger. The danger here is Our good intentions often blind us from seeing the path we are on and its destination. So we have good intentions, and so we think, well, things will turn out because I want to do what's right. This is the other dangerous thing. It only takes being off one degree. If you think of flying, well, I don't know. I should have done the math here, but Ben's a pilot. But yeah, if you're flying and you get off course by a little bit, that's going to multiply over distance, obviously. But in the moment, you don't really see that you're off. But once you get here, here's the destination. If you're off a little bit, you're going to be farther down the road, you're going to be way, way off course. Remember, no one has ever said, my plan is to ruin my life by the time I am 30. You know, no one's like, that's my goal. I want to make as many lousy decisions as I can to be in just a horrible place. Most times people are like, I don't understand what happened. Here I am in this place I never imagined I would be. It's because they ignored this principle, the principle of the path. Direction, not intention, determines destination. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, secondly, and maybe we've covered this enough already, but mankind struggles to run straight or to choose the right path. I appreciated those songs, Isaac, that Lead Us, O Father, in the Paths of Peace. I brought the book up because I was going to read the one verse, and then I realized when I walked up, I took my finger out of the place, so I just set the book down there. But anyway, good lyrics in that song. I might have to bring those up later once I find the number. But what animal does the scriptures compare us to? You can say it. I heard it. Sheep. Yeah. Now, I was doing some research on sheep. Now, they might get more of a bad rap than they deserve. Like, they actually do have some intelligence. it was interesting. So, we know the thing about they recognize the voice of their shepherd. They also can recognize faces for up to, I forget what the, it was a fairly long period of time, they'll recognize faces. And so I think that's neat. We should recognize the face of our Savior, and we should recognize his voice. But other than those characteristics, there's some things we know about sheep. Not the wisest animal. Forgive the dad joke here, but they make bad decisions. Those who know me, I do like a good dad joke. But let's not get on a bunny trail with dad jokes. If you come to SMBI and take one of my classes, you will experience a lot of bunny trails. Sorry about that. But one of the first characteristics of sheep, this can be both a positive and a negative, but they are followers, right? They are followers. So they have a herd instinct. Now, this is a positive so long as the sheep, the crowd of sheep is headed in the right direction, right? That's okay if you're, you know, in a sense. They are also wanderers. So this is where it can get dangerous, because if they're followers, but yet they're also wanderers, when a couple sheep begin to stray or to wander, that can lead to the whole flock ending up over in Timbuktu because of this following tendency. So how can you help these poor animals that can wander off and get into bad places but by themselves? Well, other thing is, when you wander, you get off by yourself, you're vulnerable to attack, and so on. But what do sheep need? They need a shepherd. And we have the best shepherd that we could ever ask for. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But just bringing out this idea again that we're compared to sheep. Sheep aren't necessarily good at making the best decisions or choosing the right path. But we even have plenty of biblical examples of people that failed to follow this principle or to pay attention to this principle of the path. Think about Eve. When Eve listened to the serpent in the garden, was she? All right, let me put it this way. She had good intentions. She thought she was doing what was best for her. Maybe she didn't have good intentions. Let me rephrase it. But she thought she was making a wise decision. It says, when she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, all positive things in her mind, this is the best decision for me, then she took and she ate, and we know the result of that. What about Lot? Remember Abraham and Lot, they come back from Egypt into the land of Canaan. The land is not able to bear them. They got lots of flocks and herds. And Abraham, there starts to be fighting between the shepherds of Abraham and Lot. And Abraham says, let's not have this strife. We're brothers. You go one way, I'll go another way. Take your pick. And it says, Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. As it says, as the garden of the Lord. So very fertile valley to the Jordan Valley, which was optimum grazing for his flocks. Made the most sense in the world to choose that, and he did. But there's only one problem. What's in the Jordan Valley? Or what city? Sodom. And the scriptures give us this little hint at where Lot's direction is headed. It says he chose the plain of Jordan, and then at the end of that part, it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then what do we know from later on in the story? Where is Lot at? In Sodom. He's in the city. And the New Testament talks about righteous Lot living in Sodom, and he was vexed with the wickedness. So it says he was righteous, but yet look at the consequences of his choice, of that path that he chose in his family. It's a sad story. Another book of the Bible that shows man chooses some pretty bad paths. Have you ever read the book of Judges? The whole book of Judges you can sum up with one phrase. And I think it appears twice. It says, now there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then you can see the chaos that resulted from that as you read through those stories. Another example I thought of was Saul. Do you remember his command to utterly destroy the Amalekites? And do you remember how does he not fully obey that command? Bible trivia. He saved the king, and what else? The sheep and the oxen. Samuel comes to Saul, and he's like, what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen that I hear? And Saul first blames the people, which is he not in charge? He's the king. But anyway, he blames the people. The people save the best of the sheep and the oxen. And then he says, what are they going to do with the sheep and the oxen? They are going to be sacrificed to the Lord. We save the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel responds with, well, first of all, he breaks. He says to Saul, God desires obedience more than sacrifice. So once again, Saul maybe has good intentions, like we're going to sacrifice to the Lord, but he was on the wrong path, a path of disobedience. All right, I need to. Oh boy. Do I have 45 minutes from the time I get up here, right? Okay. All right. So the principle of the path, your direction, not your intentions, determine your destination. And then second point, we don't do well. Just looking at the Bible clearly shows us that humans don't do well at choosing the correct path. And so the final section of the talk here is about choosing the right path or choosing the right direction. How can we run straight in our race? How can we run within the boundaries that God has set up for this race? So some keys to running straight. Connecting to the principle of the path, the first thing is add direction to your good intentions. Now, when I say good intentions, I'm assuming that those are biblical, okay? Does that make sense? So in alignment with God's word, that's where your intentions are. I want to serve God. I want to be faithful to him. I want to obey his word, what it teaches. That's your intention. Now, what are you going to do? Don't rely on your good intentions. Look ahead. Where are my current choices leading? You can ask that question. And remember, it's difficult to see in the moment if you're off course because you're in the here and now. So you need to develop this ability to look ahead and determine where you're heading. The Proverbs 27 verse 12 says, the prudent, or that we could say the wise person, sees danger and takes refuge. The simple, or the foolish, they keep going and they suffer for it. So you have two different groups of people described in that verse. One group has the principle of the path in the forefront of their mind. They are looking ahead, foreseeing danger and hiding themselves from that. But the simple, they pass on and are punished. So determine the daily choices you must begin making. Hebrews 12:13, farther down, I read Hebrews 12:1, but it talks about, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So once again, making straight paths for our feet. The little choices do matter. Life is such an interesting thing. I don't know. To me it is. But it's made up of, you know, years, centuries, whatever. Years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, and then you get down to seconds. It's a moment by moment. Your life, what it is 10 years from now, is an accumulation of all the moments. And so these daily little choices matter. Now, not the choice, well, okay, they do. I was about to say not the little choices like, yeah. Actually, yeah, this is a really big one. If you don't brush your teeth, that's going to have massive implications down the road. Anyway, I don't know why I thought of that. Guess I'm thinking about dentist bills. But anyway, trust me, dentist bills are no joke. But anyway, you can laugh. But the little choices matter. So examples, you want a closer walk with God, you're not going to get it unless you're spending time with him in the word and in prayer. It's just not going to happen. I can say I want a closer walk with God all I want, but if I'm not investing time in that relationship, I'm not going to find myself closer to God. If you want to experience victorious Christian living, you're going to need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Obedience to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And a warning for us, if you are not heeding the voice of the Spirit in your life, his voice will become fainter and harder to hear. So if you want to develop biblical beliefs and godly convictions, once again, that's going to come back to being in the Word, but also being willing to be discipled, or even to seek discipleship from mature believers. We're going to talk more about this in another session, but it's so important to look. Actually, let's get to the next point here. The second point here, or key to running straight, is pay attention. Pay attention. Be alert. The scripture is full of passages that talk about being serious or sober-minded, being watchful. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Is anyone sleeping yet? I thought about it. It's like you all had a late night. Bless your hearts. I hope I don't put you all to sleep at some point today. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So pay attention, live alert. The first thing to pay attention to, we've been talking about this, but in case you missed it, your direction. Where are you headed? Not where you want to be headed, but are you where you're actually headed? The second point is maybe something we don't think about as much, but pay attention to the direction of others. I used to tell my junior high students, you don't need to learn everything by experience. Experience is a tough teacher. You don't all have to try things to experience if it's a bad idea or not. So whenever possible, please learn from the experiences of others. Now, I wonder who would have more experience than you that you could go to for wisdom. I wonder who has been a young person before and who's wrestled with some of the decisions. And that kind of sounds like your parents. But anyway, and I know some have been blessed with godly parents that are valuable. And I know not everyone has that story. And so, but there's still an opportunity to seek, to pay attention to the paths that others are choosing, to ask, you know, you see someone that's on fire for the Lord and serving him, you can go to them and say, how have you gotten to the place where you're at in your walk with God? I want that. And they'll probably tell you, it's staying in the Word, but seek out examples to follow. So you can see the results of the paths others have chosen, whether positive or negative. And so, yeah, pay attention to your direction and to the direction of others. And then a last exhortation for you in this session is be a smart sheep. Be a smart sheep. And this isn't really that complex, but remember we talked about sheep recognize the voice of their master, and they also have determined now with studying sheep that they recognize the face of their master. Now, we haven't seen Jesus face to face yet, but in a sense, we do see his face in the Word. We see what he is like. So make sure Jesus is your shepherd. Make sure Jesus is your shepherd. Follow him and allow him to guide you. A verse that should always come up when we talk about choosing right paths is Proverbs 3, actually two verses. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So be a smart sheep. Make sure Jesus is your shepherd. Follow him. Allow him to guide you. So the question to consider, are you running straight? Is your running within the boundaries that God has given for those who will obtain the prize? And remember the principle of the path. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Understand your tendency in and of yourself is to choose paths that may not be the best for you. And so running straight, add direction, pay attention, and be a smart sheep. Follow Jesus missed the end there, but follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to think about running our race this weekend, and I pray for these young people, wherever they find themselves in their journey with you, I pray that they would live life with the principle of the path in mind, that they would learn to evaluate what direction they are headed in, and not to fall back on their good intentions, but to be intentional to walk, to do, to make the choices they need to make, so that one day they will be at the destination they desire to be at. And all of us desire to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I pray that you would help us all to run our race in the paths of righteousness that you have for us, and that we could hear those words one day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.